It says that the love of God has been poured out, overflowing. It continues and continues being poured out forever and ever and ever and ever in the life of the believer in our hearts. And look how it says, by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone. Today, Pastor Bill continues his study in the New Testament epistle of Romans with the message, Having Been Justified. So, be encouraged today as we join Pastor.
Amen. Turn with me, please, this morning as we continue our in-depth study to the book of Romans. We are in chapter 5 this morning, Romans chapter 5. We're going to cover 11 verses. Remember that Romans, the theme of Romans is all about good news. Amen. And actually, I believe with all of my heart that Romans is the greatest letter ever written on this planet. You know, the good news of the gospel is not really about us. It's about what God has done for us. It's how God offers to the sinner, the believing sinner, when they come to Christ, he offers them his own perfect righteousness to be put into their account, if you will, meaning just as if they've never sinned. And not only that, it means that when a believer, when someone says, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, they really mean it in their hearts. That means that they will have, in God's eyes, a perfect relationship with him forever and ever and ever and ever, meaning they stand in that relationship with him by their position, not their walk, but by their position that God has granted. Last Sunday, we learned from Romans chapter 4, we proved that salvation is by faith alone. Amen? Boy, that's very important. You can't earn it. There's no way to get to heaven. I'm a good person or the law or any of those things. Only thing that a person can do is simply believe in their hearts and confess with their mouth. And God says, if you'll do that, if you'll receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, I will save you. And once believed, that person is justified. What a glorious thing. Did you know that justification is the permanent possession of every believer? And here's the good news. God never, has never changed his mind. God doesn't lose sheep. If you're genuinely saved, if you're really saved, God's not going to lose you. Amen? That's right. So important that we know that. Now, our standing before God, as we've been going through Romans, we've learned that, like last Sunday, it's not only perfect, our standing, not our walk, but our standing, our position. Not only that, it's immutable. Immutable meaning it's unchangeable. God can't lie. And God guarantees it by his own personal oath to us. Remember? Unbelievable, the sure, certain word of God. Martin Luther called the chapter, these 11 verses that I'm going to cover this morning, here's what he said about it. In the whole Bible, there's hardly another chapter which can equal this triumphant text. Beginning in chapter 5 now, it's for believers only, what God has done. I want to talk to you this morning about having been justified. Now that a person is a Christian, now that they are a believer in the Lord, that's what I want to talk to you about. You know, verses 1 through 11 assure the believer, the true believer, they assure us that we can never, ever be lost. And I know that always creates conflict with believers. Well, I don't know, you know, if that person is really saved. Well, that's up to God. You know, you don't know their heart. I don't know their heart, but I do know this. When a person is really born from above, God's not going to lose you. You say, now, Bill, do you believe in eternal security? Well, let me read a text to you for a moment from a theologian here. He says, for a born-again believer to fall away, meaning to completely give up, just walk away, history must go into reverse action like a movie that runs backwards until Christ goes from heaven back to earth, back into the tomb, never to come out again. Then and only then does this teacher of God's word say, would I worry about my salvation? Amen? Listen, that's not going to happen. And the question is, somebody's going to email and say, well, Bill, are you saying once saved, always saved? And you can live any way you want to? Don't you dare email me that. No, of course not. Listen, when we get to Romans chapter 6, that's going to clear all that up, isn't it? Matter of fact, let's just look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, continue in a habitual lifestyle of sin, that grace may abound? And what does Paul say? You know what that means? It means you got to be out of your mind. It's certainly not. It means God forbid. So no, you can't do that. When you are saved, you are changed. Now, with all that being said, after we have been justified, declared righteous or in right standing in the eyes of God because Jesus Christ is our Lord, he took our sin. What happens then? Let's begin this morning, beginning in chapter 5, verse 1, where Paul writes, he says, therefore, going back to chapter 3 and chapter 4, having been what? Justified, just as if I'd never sinned, just as I'm completely guiltless, uncondemned by God. That's what justification is, by the way. It looks back, you see, having been. You're born again, and now God justified you. It says, and look how we were justified. By works? By being good enough. By the law? How about human merit? Water baptism? Church affiliation? Being a Methodist? Being a Baptist? We know no Baptists are in heaven. No, I'm teasing. You know I'm joking. I love you. I do. I love the Baptist. I'm just, you know, I don't know why I pick on them. I guess because it's the second letter in the alphabet. You know? No, listen. It says, watch this now, having been justified by faith. That's it. That's the only way you can be saved, by simply believing in your heart. God says, you don't have any. I'm the one who made salvation possible. You don't. You can't earn it. You can't merit it at all. And watch this now. We have, and this is important because that word have is present continuous in the Greek, okay? Which means this. Let me read it like this. We have constant. We have continuous. We have permanent forever and ever peace with God. And he tells us how. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now listen. Having been now justified in the eyes of God. Boy, listen, we have peace with God. Loved one, listen, that is our eternal, permanent possession forever and ever and ever and ever. And why do we have peace with God? Because all of the hostility of our sin was placed where? On Jesus Christ. He bore the sin of the world. He bore all the sin of the world, from the sin of Adam till the very end. He took it all for all mankind. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, loved one. And I look and I say, oh God, that's so good. But listen carefully now. This peace, you say, well, Bill, I don't know that I have any peace in my life right now. Okay, well, just listen for a moment. This peace that we have is not based on how well you know the Bible. I pray you do know it well. It's not based upon a weak walk, or let's say we're a baby Christian, on a baby Christian walk. And this peace is not based on a strong walk. You see, the peace that we're talking about, this peace with God, is just like justification. When a person is declared in right standing with God because of what Jesus did on the cross and you trust Christ as the Savior, justification then, you know, when we're declared righteous, remember, is not a feeling. When you came to Christ, you didn't know what justification was, or I could say, I didn't know. I had no idea what it meant. I never even heard of it. Matter of fact, most people, most pastors today, and I say this not in a critical manner, but we're so into series and feel-good messages, we don't teach the doctrine of justification any longer, and it's the greatest doctrine in all the world. It tells us how a man can be right with God, a holy God, a perfect God. Listen, this peace then is like justification. It's not a feeling. It's a fact, a divine fact from God. Matter of fact, it's not even an experience, although you may experience the peace of God from time to time, but it's really a revelation. It's when you get into the Word of God and you look and say, you mean I have this peace? That's right. You have it right now, Christian, forever and ever and ever and ever. And this incredible peace that we have with God came at a great, great cost. Jesus died on the cross for us. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:14 that he himself, meaning Jesus, our Lord, he himself is our peace right now. And he is the only source of peace because he's the Prince of Peace. Amen. Peace is not a place. Peace is always found. True peace is found in the person of our Lord. And you know what? God makes peace with man no other way. No other way. It only comes through Jesus Christ. There's not another name given in heaven on this earth that man could be saved by except the precious name of Jesus. Now listen carefully. We, the believer, we don't make peace with God. You know, A couple of years back, I was at the hospital and I was sent there. And anyway, they were not a believer. The family asked me to go pray with them. And I said, okay. And I went down there and I was talking with the gentleman about the Lord. He said, I've made my peace with God. I said, you did? How'd you do that? Well, we talked it over. I said, you did? I said, well, what did he say? Well, we've worked it all out. I said, well, you know, I said, did you know it's impossible to make peace with God? And he said, what? I said, yeah, it's impossible. You see, because we can't do it. God made peace with us. Do you understand? How did he do it? Through Christ Jesus, our Lord, when he died upon the cross. It says in Colossians 1:20, it says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. It only comes from God. He wants peace between the lost and himself. That's why he sent Jesus. Now listen, it's very important not to be confused because, you know, we look at the word peace through the Bible and it, for example, when we say the peace here that we have peace with God, that's not meaning the peace of God. You remember in Philippians when we prayed that prayer, you know, be anxious for nothing, you know, okay, but everything by thanks and thanksgiving, you know, let your requests be known unto God and the very peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, there's a difference between the very peace of God that comes into your situation when you pray, when you're going through it. But this here is a divine fact that is yours forever and ever and ever and ever. We have what the world doesn't have. We truly have peace with God. He's not mad at you. God loves you. Amen. Now look at verse 2. Through whom, meaning our Lord, also we have, and forgive me, I have to do this, that again is in the present tense. We're looking at the benefits, the blessings, the fruit of what it means to having been justified. So that word have, that verb there, it means a continued, ongoing, forever and ever and ever possession. So we have access by faith, one more time and forgive me, in the best Greek manuscripts, the word faith is not used, okay? So let's just read it this way. We have forever and ever and ever access into this what? Grace in which we do something. We stand in it and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, having been justified by faith, believing in our Lord, declared in right standing with God, we have something that is so marvelous. We have access to God. And the word access carries the idea of an introduction. We have access through someone else who has the perfect favor of God, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can go to the throne room anytime we want to, anytime we want to. I'm so thankful for that. See, Jesus made God accessible to every born-again believer. What does it say in John 14, 6? Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the life, I'm the truth. No one comes to the Father except... That's it. Jesus is the only way to get to God the Father. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:18, for through him, meaning Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. But here's what's so wonderful. Now listen, I'm talking about a blessing, a benefit that's yours forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We have access into what? Come on, somebody tell me. Well, look at your Bible. You trying to embarrass me when we go on the radio? You should be applauding and yelling it out now. Thank you. Hallelujah. Look at it again. It says, we have access by faith into something, into this unmerited divine favor of God in which we stand. Loved one, listen to me. That means this, that we right now, we stand in the very divine favor of God 24/7, every second of our life. We never, ever leave the sphere of grace. There's only one way that you can leave the sphere of grace, and that's when you start operating in, instead of a loving relationship with God, you start walking in a legal relationship with God. In other words, this is what I've done. You love me because I did this, or I did. That's bull, okay? That doesn't work. That doesn't fly in the Word of God, all right? No. That's a legal, and it says when you do that, like in Galatians, it says you fall out of This fear of grace. Why? You want to go back to the law. You want to be under the law. You know, I did this. I was baptized or whatever it was. No. That doesn't work. When we look at this wonderful grace in which we stand, listen carefully now. It means no matter if you're a baby Christian or you're an old saint, okay? It means that you stand in the divine favor of God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The devil wants you to believe. He whispers into your ear, you're not saved. God doesn't love you. Look, you just blown it. You just sinned. God will never, you're through. No. Listen, when I have an argument with my family, do they kick me out and say, you're no longer my dad or my husband? Well, Becky may do. I don't know. But no, you have divine favor forever and ever. You stand in his grace forever and ever. Listen, not only that, you have continual access, acceptance to God, the Father, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. God will never shut the door on a true believer. Never. He'll never, ever shut the door. You have that continual access to the throne room of God. That's why it says in Hebrews 4:16, therefore, let us come boldly. That word means with confidence or with freedom of speech. Come boldly to the throne of grace where you can find help and grace and obtain it in time of need. Not the throne of judgment, the throne of God's incredible grace and favor. Listen, to stand in grace means that you stay in grace. Why? Because we were saved by grace. You stay where you were saved, loved one. Listen, to stand in grace means that you are not attempting, that you are not trying in any legal manner to have a legal relationship with your Father in heaven predicated upon something that you've done. This is a gift of God. You stand in God's grace because he said, this is my divine favor to you. Do you understand? Boy, listen, we stand in it. Why? Not for something that we've done, but because what our Savior has done. You know, we say Jesus paid it all. He really did pay it all. Yeah, but when you get into sin, you know, you got to be saved all over again. Then this whole church needs to get down here right now. No, listen, sin breaks fellowship with God the Father. It doesn't break sonship. Do you understand? It doesn't do that. No, God, he says, I will never leave you. I'll never cast you out of my hand. All that the Father has given me must come to me. Jesus doesn't lose any sheep. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 10:22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance by faith. Now look at verse 2 again. It says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and watch this now, and what's that next word, and what? That word means incredible jubilation, okay? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Having been justified, declared legally righteous in the eyes of God by his judicial decision, that one-time event, that unchangeable one-time event, permanent forever and ever. Now, it says this hope. That's not a hope so. The word hope there is a word that denotes security or surety, if you will, or the sure promises of God that cannot lie. Phillips' translation says it this way. This hope is a happy certainty. Happy certainty of what? Well, that God's glory is going to be revealed in my life, in your life, now and in the future. How is God's glory being revealed in you and me now? 2 Corinthians 3:18. Remember, we are being transformed into the same image, meaning the image of our Lord and Savior, Christ's likeness, transformed into the same image from what? Glory to glory, glory. In other words, that's the change. We start out, you know, down here, we're a little baby Christian, and then we grow, and then we grow, and then we grow, but we're growing into Christ's likeness because Jesus lives in our heart, amen? The Holy Spirit is working in the life of the believer. We call that sanctification. Now, so that's what's happening to us now. But in the future, it says in Colossians 3:4, it says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Listen, whenever the rapture of the church occurs, and there is a rapture, there is a catching away, it could happen today, could happen tomorrow. I don't know when. I don't know the day or the hour, but Jesus said to watch, for you come at an hour in a time that you don't expect. Now, that means that we're going to go home and we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be in glory forever and ever and ever and ever. It belongs to the believer because of what Jesus has done. But more than that, loved one, God promises one day. Listen to this promise from the high priestly prayer of Jesus himself in John 17, 22. He's praying and he says, "And the glory which you gave me," talking to God the Father, "the glory that you gave me," listen to what he says, "I have given." They didn't earn it, the disciples, us. He says, "I have given that they may be one just as we are one." That is a promise from Jesus. God's promises are immutable. They are unchangeable. And that is our ultimate destiny. No wonder we need to be rejoicing. I mean, one day when this crummy body falls, well, it already is kind of falling apart, but you know what I'm trying to say. And we're going home. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful time, loved one. The Bible says in 1 John 3:2, when we see him, we shall be like him. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi in chapter 3, verse 21, said, "God, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed," here it is, "to his glorious body." It's going to be a wonderful time. These are divine promises from God. God cannot lie. His promises are immutable. They're unchangeable. And not only that, verse 3, this is one of our favorite scriptures. And not only that, in other words, Paul is saying, let me tell you how much better it's going to get. He says, "We also glory." That's the same word used in verse 2. It means to rejoice. We also rejoice in what? Is that on your refrigerator? We rejoice in tribulations, plural, not singular, plural, knowing that tribulation does something. It produces perseverance. It produces character. It produces hope. Now listen, having been justified, declared legally righteous now in the eyes of Almighty God because of Christ, it says we're doing something now. We rejoice in what we're facing. We rejoice in tribulations. And yes, I would be just like you saying, "Bill, I think I like the access and the glory and a little bit better." Well, I do too. But the fact of the matter is listen carefully now, our standing, again, you know, is perfect before God. Not our walk, but our standing, our position, because we're in Christ who never sinned. Does that make sense? Okay, so that means that we are forever unchangeable, that condition, our position, that is. But our state or our walk, if you will, is progressive. And the reason it's progressive is that we must mature. We must grow up. That's why it says tribulation produces something. So sanctification is that matter, again, like I just said a moment ago, of transformation from glory to glory. So tribulation means to be under pressure. Some of us may be in tribulation right now, persecution, suffering, going through it. But that word tribulation literally means a squeezing, if you will, like being in the press that presses the wine, grapes and all that. It means literally being crushed. And you know, that's a bad time. It's a hard time, isn't it? But God says, I want you to rejoice in it. Just because we're declared legally righteous in the eyes of God, justification, just because sanctification is taking place in our lives, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, just because we have access to the throne room of God, even though we stand in the grace of God 24/7, even though that happens, that doesn't give us an escape from the pressures of this life, from the tribulations of this life, from the persecutions of this life. Amen? You know, we need to own up to that. Listen, even Jesus, he gave us a tribulation promise in John 16, 33. He said, listen, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." We are in the one, Christ, who has overcome the world. Therefore, we are world overcomers as well.
We're out of time for today, but please don't miss the broadcast tomorrow to hear the remainder of Having Been Justified. We appreciate you listening to Love Never Fails today. Be blessed, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.